And welcome to the Generations Broadcast, friends. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Adam McManus, our host on theworldview.com. Every day you need to get theworldview.com. It's a five-minute update on what's going on in the world from a distinctively biblical worldview perspective. From Adam McManus, recommended to you at theworldview.com. Be sure to get the app. One of the implications of a Trump-less government here in the United States is all brakes are off on the green agenda. And Adam, that's where we're headed. With the COP26 conference that just ended, apparently just about every major world leader was gathered in Glasgow, Scotland over this last week. And the highlights of the COP26 conference included a global pledge led by the U.S. and European Union to slash methane, a potent greenhouse gas, by 30% by 2030. That's going to involve a lot of cows, the billion cows in the world. They are one of the largest producers of methane, and we're talking about billions of tons of methane coming out of cows on any given year. It's a lot of diapers. You got to get those cows in diapers, I guess. That's probably the best way to contain the methane issue. But that's going to be cut by 30%. And so, it's apparently going to affect agriculture, oil, gas drilling operations, et cetera. And that is the commitment that Joe Biden made, apparently, to the world leaders on Monday for the Trump administration's involvement in the environmental issue worldwide. Biden also announced that he's back in the Paris Climate Agreement, and he also apologized for Donald Trump, you know, did a little penance. That the United States of America was not entirely on board with the Emperor's new clothes maker's procession over the last 4 to 5 years. I guess I shouldn't apologize, but I do apologize, said, for the fact that the United States' last administration pulled out of the Paris Accord. It put us sort of behind the eight ball a little bit, he said, and so a little bit of an apology there for. But he says, you know, we have seen the Lord. Or, you know, those who have not been up to speed on the climate change issue have now seen the Lord. That's his quote. They've seen what's happened back home, incredible changes that are taking place, and they're now finally seeing the sense of urgency that y'all are. And then he closes with the statement, may God save the planet. Well, of course, God's already saved the planet through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess Biden must have missed that.
Yeah, save the people on the planet, not the planet itself, of course.
Well, he's going to save the planet and the total redemption of all things. All creation groans and travails until now, calling out for the redemption that's soon to come. That's Romans 8. So there will be a redemption of all things at the end. But that's not going to happen with the COP26 agenda or the Paris Climate Accord. That's not how it's going to come about. You know, I don't think these guys understand the end game very well.
Listen to some of the things the Democrats have put into their $3.5 trillion budget in terms of the Green New Deal. They've inserted all kinds of things, goodies, like $12,500 for consumers, a credit who purchase a new electric vehicle, a $2,500 credit for electric motorcycles, a $1,500 credit for electric bicycles. And a key part of the budget is the $150 billion Clean Electricity Performance Program. It's the centerpiece of the bill's climate agenda, which would allegedly incentivize energy companies to produce fewer emissions through a series of grants and fees, all part of the Build Back Better Act that would invest an estimated $295 billion of taxpayer money into a variety of clean energy programs that would amount to the most sweeping climate effort passed by Congress in American history.
Well, of course, America is always already up to its eyeballs in debt, the fourth worst nation on its debt to GDP. America is effectively right there with some of the worst possible third world nations in terms of its debt situation, and this is only going to make things another 20, 30, 40% worse as America gets on board this agenda, my friends. And do understand that if we're going to be signing up for the Paris Accord, that's going to be a reconstruction of our entire energy program. The price tag would range between $8 and $4 trillion, per the Wall Street Journal. And already corporate debt in America has hit a record $10 trillion. So add another $10 to $14 trillion to that, and you're up to $24 trillion. Have no idea where this game ends. So, friends, it looks to me like the COP26 target of net zero emissions by 2050 promises to cripple an already crippled economy, not just here in America, but the EU and just about every other Western nation as well. It's interesting that Brazil was a little hesitant to join the chorus of the emperor's new clothes maker's mantra. But as of this morning, Brazil has pledged to raise its climate commitments at the start of the COP26 in Glasgow, marking a change of tone. So there has been something of a repentance on the part of President Jair in Brazil. Brazil's greenhouse gas emissions rose 9.5% in 2020. And so they're moseying up to the platform and repenting of their failure to join the chorus of all of the clothes makers and their support for this agenda. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in just a moment, friends. What is so crazy about this agenda? Remember, every policy, every reaction to COVID, every reaction to global warming is intended to destroy the Western economy. I think people need to understand that what's happening in all of this, all the critical race theory, all of the divisive issues that are destroying American education, every policy, every reaction to COVID, every reaction to global warming is intended to destroy America, to bring the world into a long-term 20-year economic depression. We're already at an unsustainable 440% debt-to-GDP ratio in the world economy, and that's up from 200% just say 20 years ago. Friends, we're already pretty much all the way down the toilet and working our way into the septic systems when it comes to the world economy. So this is intended to place us entirely into the very depths of the septic system and destroy the Western economy for at least 20 years. But this itself is God's judgment on the nations. America is in a self-destructing pattern. Practically every policy is intended to bring America to its knees and to bring a global economic self-destruction. This is the agenda, and by God's providence, it appears to be happening right now. Of course, we could repent at any point, and I wish we would. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And we're back with you, Adam McManus, Kevin Swanson, and friends, discussing the COP26 conference just completed in Glasgow, Scotland. The whole world is behind this thing. I don't know a single sensible world leader who doesn't fall down on his knees and at least pretend obeisance to the doctrine of climate change. I mean, global warming, I mean, global cooling, I mean, whatever it was. Whatever it was. And the prime minister of the UK, Boris Johnson, was just, you know, beside himself. He was preaching the gospel message, the hellfire and brimstone messages of climate change at the conference in Glasgow. Here's the way it sounded.
Humanity has long since run down the clock on climate change. It's 1 minute to midnight on that doomsday clock, and we need to act now.
All right, so that's what Boris Johnson said. Freak out, the sky is falling. It's a little bit of the Emperor's New Clothes, a little bit of the other, what was it? Who is the thing that ran around screaming the sky is falling?
The Chicken.
Chicken Little, right. Chicken Little.
So
Chicken Little of the Emperor's New Clothes makers procession. But whatever the case is, there does seem to be a fair amount of panic on this issue.
And his panic seems that more accentuated by the fact that he always looks like he's got bedhead. He's never quite ever combed his hair. But anyway, that aside, you keep referencing COP26 to give some sense of what that acronym is referencing. It's the United Nations Climate Change Conference of Parties, the 26th annual. But I thought it would be helpful to take a quick look at the 10 most insane requirements of the Green New Deal as proposed by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and that has now been bought into by President Joe Biden, the leftists in the party, and this is all part of the craziness that has become the central lane of Washington, D.C. Eliminate nuclear energy. The move would purge around 20% of American energy generation so you can rely on intermittent wind for your energy needs. Eliminate 99% of cars. Everyone would need to retrofit their car with Flintstone-style footholes, I guess, or pedals for cycling. Changing stations for electric vehicles would be built everywhere, though how power plants will provide the energy needed to charge them is apparently a mystery. Gut and rebuild every building in America. We're talking about providing supposedly state-of-the-art energy efficiency in every home, every factory, every apartment building to redo the entire working heating and cooling systems ripped out and replaced. Talk about insanity. Eliminate air travel. The Green New Deal calls for building out high-speed rail at a scale where air travel stops becoming necessary. This is an actual quote. Good luck, Hawaii. California's already spent $100 billion of debt. It looks to be one of the state's biggest fiscal disasters. Amtrak runs billions of dollars in the red. I'm not sure we have a need for high-speed rail. I think air travel's working fine, just fine for us. A government-guaranteed job. This is part of the Green New Deal. Providing supposedly family-sustaining wage, family medical leave, vacations, a pension, all under the umbrella of Green New Deal. Free education for life through college and trade schools for every American. A house. You'll get a house through the Green New Deal. Safe, affordable, adequate housing for every American citizen. I mean, it sounds like something from the page directly of Karl Marx. Free money. Green New Deal aims to provide, not making this up, economic security for all who are unable or unwilling to work. Not just unable, unwilling to work. And here's the bonus insanity. Ban meat. Ocasio-Cortez admits that we cannot get zero emissions in 10 years. You referenced this, Kevin, because we're not sure that we'll be able to fully get rid of the gas-emitting cows and airplanes that quickly. So we have to stop eating beef, apparently.
It's a pipe dream. Yeah, it's just a pipe dream. I mean, it's based upon faulty science, or no science, an unscience, a science that is not a science. And, of course, now science has become increasingly irrational. In fact, almost entirely irrational. At the point at which we abandon the fear of God as the beginning of real wisdom and real knowledge, inevitably God will give them up to a corrupted mind, and we will see, yes, even the what appears to be the sophisticated modern scientist effectively become like somebody crawling around in an insane asylum in the 1800s. This is where we are today. We are seeing insanity and irrationality amongst those who claim to be scientists but are really more astrologers and alchemists. That's where we are, friends. Now, global warming, does it even exist? Or climate change? Who knows? Are we up a degree centigrade on an average temperature since we started to get some somewhat accurate temperatures certain points around the world? Not necessarily a temperature in every square foot. Now, it would be good to have a thermometer in every cubic foot, square foot, on every part of land and sea across the entire world. It would be good to, in order to really have an accurate temperature, it would be nice to have tens of billions of thermometers giving us temperatures every second, not every minute, every second, because I want accurate numbers. Okay? I'm going for accuracy here. So I really, really want to know what the average temperature around the world is. And, of course, it has to be every cubic inch because you've got to, you know, get up into the atmosphere a little bit, get down into the Mariana Trench. I would like to have at least 100,000 thermometers in the Mariana Trench. So please monitor the temperatures everywhere around the world today, every cubic inch, please, in order for me to be sure that we have accurate temperatures. No, computer models don't work for me. I'm sorry. I reject computer models. I reject astrology, okay? Pretend cause-effect relationships. The computer models of the astrologers of the modern day, I don't receive them. If global warming were generating more hurricanes, as the mainstream media is always telling us, the increase would be uniform across the various regions, but it's not. The Eastern Caribbean has had just a modest increase in both tropical storms and higher-rated categories relative to most of the past 170 years. But the Western Caribbean has not been unusual at all. In fact, it's been a little below the higher counts during the 1880 to 1920 period. The Bahamas and the Turk Islands since 2000 actually been well weaker than the 1930 to 1960 period and the 1880 to 1900 period. So hurricanes, no data, sorry. The hurricanes not worse than it was in the 1880s. Overall, over the Atlantic side, it hasn't been worse, although we continually be told that these hurricanes come about because of global warming or climate change. Turns out the data says just the opposite. And it turns out we actually do have hurricane numbers. You can count that. It's difficult to know the temperature every cubic inch around the globe in 1840. Okay, they didn't have that many thermometers around the world in 1840. All right? They didn't know what the temperature of the Mariana Trench was in 1840. They didn't know what it was. They still don't know what it is. All right. I'm just trying to bring a little more rationality back into science. I'm hoping that somebody with at least a high school diploma would understand some of the basics. Sadly, that's not the case in most of America today. Also, some say forest fires seem to be an indication that climate change has taken over and destroying everything. Well, between 1910 and 1940, there were an average of 30 million acres burned per year in the United States. Between 1960 and 2021, the average dropped to 5 to 10 million acres. That's where we are today. We're between 5, 6, 7, 8 trillion million acres burned in the United States. It was, what, 3 to 4 million in California. California's been a little worse in the last few years. But between 1910 and 1940, an average of 30 million acres burned per year in the United States. And between 1960 and 2020, the average dropped to 5 to 10 million acres, meaning that it's about one-third of what burned on average between 1910 and 1940. So, you know, you point to forest fires. Well, see, global warming. Look at the data. Take a moment. Yeah. Take a downer. Step back. Relax for just a moment. Take a glass of water, whatever it takes, and look at the data.
And look at the long view, not just the short view.
Okay, also droughts. Droughts is the next big issue that people keep introducing to us. There's been a slight decrease in droughts over the last 40 years. So if you go from roughly 1970 to 2020, what you see, okay, just look at the overall droughts on every continent around the world. Okay, we have this data. You can get this data. You can monitor drought. And turns out, sure enough, we have seen a slight decrease in drought over the last 40 years. It's actually gone down a bit over 40 years. Now, some say we're losing plant life. Just saw a study where Stanford scientists insist the increase in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere might actually decrease plant health. That's ridiculous, of course, because plants need carbon dioxide in order to grow. Okay? They grow on carbon dioxide. That's what they do. So, but once again, the evidence contradicts this far-fetched hypothesis. Scientists at the University of Maryland analyzed satellite pictures showing use of land on planet Earth over a 35-year period. The study published in Nature Journal is the largest of its kind ever conducted. Okay, so plant life. Let's look at plant life just a second. Say, okay, everything's going to pieces. The whole world's falling apart. You know, we're not going to be able to feed each other, whatever. Well, let's look at plant life over the last 35 years. The research suggests that an area covering 2.24 million square kilometers, roughly the combined land surface of Texas and Alaska, two sizable U.S. states, has been added to global tree coverage since 1982. Can I repeat that one more time? The research suggests an area covering 2.24 million square kilometers, roughly the combined land mass of Texas and Alaska, has been added to global tree coverage since 1982. That equates to 7% of the Earth's surface covered by new trees.
How come I never hear any of these arguments on the debates on Fox News? These are fantastic.
Well, because you're tuned into the mainstream media, you're not actually looking for data. Data is not what the mainstream media is about. It's all about hype. And I think we all know that by now. But there were some large tree losses in Brazil, but that was balanced by canopy gains in Europe, Asia, and North America. Russia, for example, added 790,000 square kilometers since 1982, while China added 324,000 square kilometers. Can you say praise God?
He's taking
care of his earth.
Yes.
See, I think that's the issue here, is no one's paying attention to God, who, by the way, takes very good care of his earth. Agricultural abandonment in Europe, Asia, North America, together with tree planting programs in places like China, has driven canopy growth and so forth and so on. Also, rising temperatures, they think, has actually helped certain areas. Well, questions to ask the astrologers and alchemists of modern science comes to this climate change issue. What's the downside of more carbon dioxide? And how sure are you of that? Okay, I need chapter and verse. Give me the word of God as it applies to carbon dioxide on planet Earth. They're not sure of it at all. How do they know the ethical benefit or lack thereof of an increased amount of carbon dioxide over a period of, say, 40, 50 years? How would they know that? They don't know. All we know is we're certainly seeing a great deal more of green on planet Earth, and it seems to me that's a good thing. How is the average global temperature of the last 40 years different than the average global temperature of 1850, 1750, 1650, 1550, and 1450. Now, you go on to, you know, whatever. Go on to Wikipedia or go on to your Google search for global temperatures since 1200, and everybody's got their data. And it's based upon far-fetched computer models. Where were the thermometers carefully calibrated? I needed 50,000 thermometers carefully calibrated to know for sure what the average global temperature was in 1850, 1750, 1650, 1550, and 1450. Now, we know some of these broader ideas where, you know, there was a little more farming in certain parts of Greenland in 1250 or whatever. There might have been some archaeological findings of agricultural implements at a certain place in Greenland that date back to 1250 or 1350, and would be a surprise to all of us because there's a tremendous amount of ice in that area at this point in human history. So there are certain isolated data points, and we throw our data at them, and they throw their data at us. But at the end of the day, how do we know what the average temperature was in the Mariana Trench in 1750 or 1450 or 1250? We don't know. We have no clue. And it's just pure pride. It's pure arrogance. Where people step forward and say, yeah, but I've got my little scientific computer model here. And I checked with my alchemist friends and my astrologer friends, and it turns out this is, you know, what it was. No, we don't know what it was. We have no accuracy. We have no accurate thermometers that were determining the temperature at any given point throughout the year in Greenland in the year 1250. We don't have the data. It doesn't exist. We have to be able to calibrate our level of dogma when it comes to these scientific conclusions. Friends, and people are incapable of doing that these days. They're absolutely incapable of determining the difference between dropping something 99 times, concluding with 98% probability that force of gravity exists, versus guessing what the temperature in Greenland was in 1150. They can't determine the difference between these kinds of science. One's a far-fetched hypothesis, the other actually has data. I had a statistics professor, an engineering professor, taught some statistics who would say, in God we trust, all else bring data. And by the way, computer models don't count. In God we trust, all else bring data, and it should have happened in a laboratory in a closed situation in which you could monitor your factors and block certain confounding factors during the experimentation. Can't do that with a globe. That's the problem. So we need to ask these questions of those who have this amazing revelation from the wizards that peep and mutter in the modern science laboratories. What's the downside of more carbon dioxide? How does the average global temperature differ from 1750, 1550, and 1450. What contributes to more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere? And how sure are you of that? Just forest fires in California contributed 91 million metric tons of carbon dioxide. That's, again, an estimate. But that's 25% of the total carbon dioxide emitted in California last year. 25%. Just the forest fires in California contributed 91 million metric tons. So how do you control that? How do you control the lightning strikes? And by the way, that's only, what, one quarter of the average forest fire destruction they saw in the earlier part of the 20th century. So I guess that would be closer to 100% of the total carbon dioxide emission in the state of California if it was the average forest fire season you would have identified in 1910 to 1940. And livestock, just cows. Okay, we can talk about methane for a second. Livestock, just cows. Nothing else. Just cows. Not talking about goats and sheep and chickens and all the others. Livestock, cows, provided 21% of greenhouse emissions by my calculations. Cows belch up 6,000 pounds of greenhouse emissions, assuming methane is 28 times more potent than carbon dioxide, which is what they're saying. Cows belch up 6,000 pounds of greenhouse emissions each year. Average person contributes about 4,000 pounds per year. That's everything. It's your automobile and everything. Okay, so I contribute 4,000 pounds. But my cow friend across the fence from me here in Elbert County, he belches up 6,000 pounds of greenhouse emissions each year, more than I do. And there are a billion cows in the world compared to 7 billion human beings. But that amounts to 21% of greenhouse emissions. And the forest fires in California provided 25% of the total emitted in California that year. But here's the other thing. Animals make up 2 gigatons of weight, and humans, 0.06 gigatons of weight. That's 33,000 times the weight of animals versus the weight of humans. And if cows only make up 1/30,000th of animal weight in the world, how much methane are produced by other animals around the world? Animals can contribute, I guess, about 30,000 times the methane / carbon dioxide as humans do. All right, so how in the world are you going to somehow contain the amount of carbon dioxide provided by animals that make up 33,000 times the weight of humans on planet Earth? Okay, answer a few of these questions first for me before we get too excited and attend your stupid little COP26 conference in Glasgow. See, the science is pure alchemy. It's astrology. And I write on the destruction of science and the rise and fall of science in the Western world in my book, Epoch. I would encourage you to this. I think it's the most interesting chapter because we are seeing the rise and fall of an entire civilization. We are seeing the fall of Western civilization. It is happening now. It is almost over. And this science is pure alchemy, computer models and guesswork. It's utterly ridiculous. If somebody with an IQ of 75 can't see through this, I don't think there's much hope for rational science on planet Earth. I read a report recently, said 99% probability of human-caused global warming based on 1,500 studies based on computer models. So here's the deal. They survey 1,500 astrologers and conclude with 99% probability based on the opinions of 1,500 astrologers that global warming is happening. That's not science, guys. That's not experimentation in a closed laboratory. That's just looking at 1,500 astrologers and concluding with 99% or 90, I guess he said 99.99% probability that human-caused global warming is happening. That's not experimentation in a closed laboratory. That's the destruction of science in the modern world. Ultimately, it's human pride, overweening confidence, and guys with PhDs attached to their names. The dude is nude in this emperor's new clothes procession. The dude is nude. As the field of science degraded in the universities, this is how I treat the issue of the destruction of science in the Western world in my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. As the field of science degraded in the universities, the modern world became enraptured with junk science, not unlike the medieval infatuation with astrology and alchemy. The public was increasingly taken in by hucksters pawning off junk science. What developed was a mindless trust in every form of scientism, far-fetched conspiracy theories, anecdotal evidence for just about any conclusion, and every other witch doctor coming down the pike. As long as God's transcendent truth was ignored, just about any scientist could be believed. Failing to recognize the limitations of science, all bets were off for measuring the trustworthiness of conclusions. Less and less were scientists interested in verification, probability, or testing far-fetched theories. This led to an increasingly irrational world, an insane world, an unscientific world, indeed to the very destruction of science itself. Modern science became more faddish, more unreliable, less meaningful as time went on. In the 1970s, the fad was the new ice age. This was followed by global warming in the 2000s. In previous decades, the problems were DDT, asbestos, acid rain, cholesterol, and so on. The fads came and went. But with each panic, the world was left with more skepticism about science, truth, and reality itself. After a while, people do lose confidence in the alchemists. A rising skepticism and a naive credulity came simultaneously in the unraveling mind of the postmodern. On the one hand, nobody was to be trusted, but on occasion, anybody could be trusted, that is, if the news appeared in social media. Such irrationality contributed to increasing levels of social chaos and disunity. Even worse, scientists used computer models to prognosticate the future, eerily similar to how medieval astrologists read the stars for cause and effect relationships. Incredibly, the worldwide infatuation with global warming impacting public policy and national economy in every developed nation in the world was inspired and directed by this computer modeling, not experimentation, not the Christian way, not the humble way. Since these computer models were first released in the early 2000s, the average global temperature diverged more and more from the average annual temperatures projected by the models. The Cornwall Alliance updated the report on the models for Congress in the later 2010s. On average, models simulated more than twice the warming observed over the period during which anthropogenic warming is supposed to have been the greatest, about the last 35 years. And so on it goes. All right, friends, I encourage you to my book, Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West, to better understand the destruction of Western science. And oh, be careful, oh, be ever so careful as you listen to the mainstream media, or worse yet, you send your kids into the public universities to study astrology and alchemy. Well, as we wrap up this program, you can purchase Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West on sale next week at generations.org. Get a couple extra copies at half price. That's the deal we're offering at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus. We invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.